each one of you here today. Next week we have prayer and we have fast and we have vision day next week. Pretty excited about that. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn over to Joshua chapter 10. Be there for a minute. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. I'm going to read one verse today, and that's where we're going to stick. One verse today. Joshua chapter 10, verse 12. Now, I want to bring you up to peace here. Joshua and them are heading up. They're into this, getting ready for this. They're in the middle of this big battle. And Joshua is in the midst of it. And this is what he says in verse 12. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the presence of Israel. Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon over the valley of Ajalon. That's it. Let me read that again. On the day the Lord gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the presence of Israel. What is going on here is Joshua is getting ready to speak. God is going to speak. He's going to pray. He's going to speak to God in front of all the Israelites. And he is going to, and he's saying, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon over the valley of Ajalon. You don't get to a place like that and call that stuff out like that unless you've been somewhere. You don't pray like that unless you have a history. I want to remind you that Joshua was Moses' servant. He was his assistant. Joshua is in the middle of this battle and he is going to throw out a prayer request in front of everyone. So this prayer is not silent, it is verbal. It is audible. People can hear it. It's not in some corner. It's not, oh, I don't know if this is going to happen. And you don't get to a place like that. You don't have that. You just don't get here overnight at all. Let me just share with you that some of the experiences that Joshua had had as he has seen God deliver them as they were slaves. He was very young, but they delivered them out of the Egyptian slavery. He's seen God part the Red Sea and experienced walking across it himself. At Mara, he's seen God turn bad water into drinking water. He's seen and ate manna that God rained down bread from heaven. God allowed him to see victory. And it's not victory, it wasn't just by the sword, but it's by obedience. As he watched, as he figured he probably should be winning a battle, but it's all about Moses and the two guys are onto his sides, helping him hold up his arms. He's seen God provide quail meat in the middle of a desert where they ought not to be. He saw God bring water from a rock two separate times. He travels with Moses as his aide when Moses goes up and receives the law and the Ten Commandments. He saw the glowing face of Moses after Moses spent a special time with God. He was there when the tabernacle was built and he saw the Ark of the Covenant from the beginning. He went into the Promised Land and came back with Caleb, giving a positive report when everybody else, the other 10, gave a negative report. He saw God give Moses' sister, Miriam, leprosy, and 7 days later seen God heal her from it. He's seen God open the ground up and devour a family of Korah and 250 rebellious people swallowed up. Never was even more after that. He saw God provide because the people were rebellious. He saw God provide poisonous snakes, yet also showed them a way to heal for those who were bitten. And Joshua finds himself one day, after Moses dies, that God has now chosen Moses to succeed, or Joshua to succeed Moses. It's one thing to think you can take and step in the steps of such a man, but it is different when you put it on. That's why I believe that God told Joshua, be strong and courageous several times. Great responsibility. And then as he takes it and takes the challenge, he takes that calling on his life, he sees God open up the Jordan rivers. Now he's walking across dry land as God separated the Jordan River as they marched across it on dry land. Joshua meets the commander of the Lord's army, which is our Lord, because it is not an angel, as some might say, because he says he kneeled and he worshipped him. And there was not a rebuke about his worship. He worshipped him. He saw the commander of the Lord's army. Joshua sees God collapse the city of Jericho. And now he finds himself in this place. God is a man. Joshua is a man who has testimonies with God, not living off someone else's testimonies, but he has his own with God, and he's experienced God in many ways. He is a man of faith, he is a man of strength, and he is a courageous man, and he is a man with testimony and faith. Now bringing him back up to this place, he's at this battle now. It isn't just he woke up one day going to call God to help him. He has all these testimonies behind him and seen God work. He has seen God work. Now, there's a difference in what some of us believe in God's work. Sometimes I think we believe that when we do things, that God is doing all those things. Listen, I just believe this. You want to see God work, ask him to do something you can't do. Ask him to be a part. Ask him to be in charge, not you asking him to jump on your bandwagon, but you ask him how you can get into his will and watch him do something. Joshua came to that place. He said, on that day that God gave the Amorites over to the Israelites, Joshua spoke this in front of all those, the Israelites, in this battle. He said, sun stand still over Gibeon and moon over the valley of Aljalon. What a peace. What a prayer piece to pray. But you don't get there overnight. You do not get there overnight. You have to be found faithful. And even though I shared those things that he was a part of, there was also a lot of part that he saw a lot of rebellious in with the people. So he saw God discipline many times the Israelites. Many times he saw God discipline them. It's like I said this morning, you can look at all the negative and all the evil in the world, but don't miss what God is doing in the midst of it. The testimony is not those. It's not the bad things. The testimony is, what has God done? Now, there are times when God disciplines, of course. But if you sulk in your past failures or your past sins, and you're not, once you take care of them with the Lord Jesus Christ, we should move on. But what do we get out of this part here about where he calls upon that? I want to share some things with you, because next week's about vision in the future. I want to share with you some things of our past year and what God has done here. No particular order, but I want to look at Vacation Bible School. I was almost done with it a couple years ago. I don't get involved too much with Vacation Bible School, but we have a group here that gets it. They're on fire. They do it. Some people don't want to do it, and once they get into it, they love it, and they're glad they're doing it. And so that attendance this year was 26. And that's better than we've had. And so the last 3 years, it has just done nothing but grow. Done nothing but grow. You may not think that's a big thing, but inner city, it is. In the inner city, it is a big thing. And that's what we are. If you don't think this is an inner city church, you need to wake up. This is an inner city church. It's just what it is. But we know that we have growing in that area. We also see that we've had mission teams come from Georgia last year, and Ohio, and Alabama, and Fort Wayne. And the year when COVID came out, we still had two teams that still came out in the early spring. But we had a group from Georgia come, we had a group from Ohio come, a group from Alabama, and we had a group from Fort Wayne. Still coming here to serve here. You see, we're in the woods. We can't see the beautiness of the landscape of it because we get in and we see all the sticks and limbs and the dead trees. We have to sometimes take a step out and look and see really what God is doing. And I think that's what we're trying to do, what I'm trying to accomplish and share with you today. Also, we found out that we had our concert cookout over the year. And this year, I think it was probably our best year in the sense that we've had more people than ever. But we also partnered with another local church and a few other ministries. And we had a great time. I was able to preach a little bit. We had a prayer tent. And we know that the guys went out and prayed with some people. And I thought that was a great piece. Yeah. Our finances for this church... our total of finances, what we brought in for the church was $144,000. That's $7,300 above what our budget was. Yeah. Here's the big one. The New Life Ministries, which is separate from the budget of the church, our budget was $353,000. We only took in $251,000. That's $102,000 short. That's $102,000 short. Yet we were able to stay open. We need to wake up and see what God is doing. And anytime I talk to other people with ministries, they still don't understand how we could have done it with $350,000, yet we did it with $250,000. Do you get that? Do you understand how we're able to do that? We're able to do that because we pray about that. We're invested in it. We're doing what God has called us to do. If God calls you to do something, He's going to supply you. If you could do it on your own, He wouldn't have called you. He wouldn't have called us to do it. He doesn't want us to do it on our own. He wants us to do it with Him. We are just the vessels that He uses and chooses to do what He's called us to do. So, and our budget even went up even more this year because we're looking at doing some new things, which we'll share next week. But that's where we are. With a $251,000 intake this last year, with a $353,000 budget, we fell short $102,000. But I want to remind you that God never falls short. You ever wonder how sometimes when you feel like, man, I'm doing everything the Lord called me to do. I'm being faithful to Him. I don't understand. You take a step back. You got these bills. A couple of things come up. And you wonder, how in the world did my money last this long? Or someone else has all kinds of money and they're not following the Lord. And they're always broke. They're always in a financial crisis. They're losing things. God knows where you are. God knows where you are. He knows where this church is. Also, if you've been down to the middle ministry, it may be small to some, but it's big to me. We were able to purchase a buffer because we weren't tired of going down and renting it all the time, so we have our own, which is good. And we also have new window signs down there, and the whole front exterior has been painted, and that's a beautiful piece. You take care of what God has given to you. For much is given, much is acquired. When much has been trusted, much more will be asked for. And God is doing that. And so that is tidying up down there some. And then we have our women's Lifehouse program where the program had five graduations this last year. And we have had both houses are have women in it. We're moving along. We've had some mishaps on a few things. Things just happen, breakdowns all the time. It seems like when you got buildings that are all over 100 years old, they're always breaking down. But we always seem to get it fixed. Maybe not when we feel like we need and have to get it fixed. But it does get fixed. And we're able to stay open. Be careful if you complain about it. If you complain enough, God will either remove you or remove it. Be thankful for what God has given to us. Be thankful for the hardships as well. They are learning moments. And then we also saw that we had the men's Lifehouse was opened up this last year at the end of January. So we have that. That men's Lifehouse is open with three graduations. Like 40-some men. Not everyone that comes has a desire to graduate. We had one person that wanted to come and wanted to and wanted to just be there for 30 days, and ended up being 40 days, and they were already moving and transitioning somewhere down south. But what we see here is God is still using this place. We were able to, with our finances, even though we were able to, and it seemed like sometimes our finances are low, but we were able to get the church gutters fixed from the one side that was the damaged side, the side that was expensive, and that was like, I don't know, $16,000 or so. Didn't have to borrow any money for that. The church brickwork was looking at to be no less than $105,000, and we did it all for a lot less than that, like $30,000, something like that. But we also got the chimney down and some other things, and they blessed us in such an amazing way. The gathering room out here now is, carpet's been removed, stained wood is now there. We're working on that. We've started on the drywall over there on that balcony. We're working through that. What I'm seeing here is, listen, I know a lot of pastors that sit and do nothing all week. Now, I'm not taking away from them that theologians and doctors and doing those things, there's a place for that. But God didn't treat me that way. I do got to make sure I do my studies. I got to work hard on those things. But I'm telling you, We're not going to sit. There's no time to sit. We do have to make sure our building is presentable to the Lord. But we're working on that. Another one is that our worship attendance here. Last year, in 2021, our worship attendance was 68. In 2022, it was 85. Now, I want to tell you, that is a big difference. It's like a 17 people difference. But to get a 17 increase means you still have to have more people than that because they all don't come every Sunday. So you're looking more like a 25, 27. So we went from a 68 to an 85. And our midweek service, our full service on Wednesday night, some of you used to come Wednesday night, but it doesn't matter. It was 31 people is what we had in 2021. But in 2022, it went up to 44. You want to see a church get on fire. You start doing things. You start remembering what God has done for the church. What God has done for you. And you start living off of that. You start believing in that. When you come to these battles in life, you're not afraid to yell out. You're not afraid to yell out, Lord, this is where I'm at. I'm praying that you are going to deal with this that's standing right in front of me. You know that was on our prayer list last year when we prayed and fasted that our attendance would grow. I can't make growth happen. Neither can you. I don't care what the books say, right, Jeremy? How to go from 20 to 40. How to go to 50. There might be some good things in there, but in the end, we can water, we can plant, but God gives the growth. You can do all those things, but in the end, it is God who gives the growth. So we planted. Lord, we want to grow. Physically, we want to grow. And we planted and we watered it. We set it, we planted it, and we watered it through prayer and fasting, and God gave us increase. And then we have our baptisms, which was one of the things. It was the number one thing 2 years ago that we had prayed for and fasted. That God would give us 25 baptisms in a total in 2 years. Today, God completed 25, exactly 2 years today. That's 2 years in the making of 25 that God gave to us on the day, because it was on Vision Day 2 years ago and the Vision Day last year. It is this week that we do it. Now we have 25 in 2 years. So next Sunday, those two light bulbs will be turned and every one of those 25 bulbs will be lit. And that is a God thing. That is a God thing. We had a theme last year that was love more, love better, love like Jesus. Love more, love better, love like Jesus. We asked that God would give us and complete the 25 baptisms this year, and He did. Amen. We also prayed that we had these 10 things. That number two was that God would bring us a director and a staff to open up the Men's Life House, and it is open. with 3 graduations in a full house, I believe. It's a full house today. I think amen to the Lord is... It was what we were supposed to start with, and we didn't. We put it... God kept moving it down. Kept moving it down on the list, but now it is open. But He gave us our director. He gave us our staff, and we are now open. We are still learning, but I want to tell you, God is patient. God is more patient than we are. God is understanding, and God is using us to make a difference in this community. Number 3, that God will open up the community so that we might evangelize and be received better, that the neighborhood walls might come down. We're still working on that, but I think we saw a part of that. We saw a cracking of the wall at the concert cookout. There was a crack in the wall. And I think we're receiving more people in the community coming and visiting this church. We're starting to see that. Number 4, that God will provide finances for New Life Fellowship and New Life Ministries. And our budget is close to $500,000 together. But what God was showing us is we can have our number, but God will give us what we need. Listen, there's a lot of churches with a lot of money. There's a lot of churches that don't have a lot of money. Either way, it's fine. It's where God wants you to be. But I'd rather be the way we are if we're going to lean on the Lord than have so much and we start having discussions and too many meetings about the money. Where's it going? Where's it going? Where's it going? Money is just a tool, and it's the Lord's, and it needs to be used, not hoarded. I believe in rainy days, savings account is fine, but I believe in using it for ministry. This church doesn't have a savings account right now. You might have a lot. Here it is. You go to work and you only have so much money. You're going to make it. You know what you get. You save a percentage of it. You do what you need to. But God owns everything. Pray the Lord, we need this. And sometimes we don't get it, but it's there. He just hasn't given it to us yet. This is the way it's been for 20 years. For over 20 years, God has provided. Oh, you're going to like what the list is next week, what we're praying for. Number 5, that God will show and provide for the maintenance of the church. The brick and windows together were estimated at $225,000 to get all the windows, to protect what we have and our bricks. So that $500,000 would do it all. And we were trying to pray and figure out how that was going to work, but God gave the brick to us, the brickwork, and all of it done, and plus extra. These people volunteered, did a lot of stuff, and never charged us by taking down the chimney of the other building across there, tucking the brickwork around all the houses. That was all. They just donated that. They put up the OSB board and the bell tower across the street. They didn't charge us for that. And so they just donated their time. But our estimates were $225,000, where we were able to get one of those under right around $30,000. And that's why we're doing the building fund, so we can pay it off and go right to the next piece that we need to. Number 6, that God will direct and clarify the use and purpose of the old church building, which I'm going to be discussing a little bit more next week. Number 7, that God will touch our leaders to have a desire to grow in their place of service. This is the biggest piece right here. Let me read that again. That God will touch our leaders to have a desire to grow in their place of service. I love the leaders of this church, but they're wrestling. We have a book group, and these are special book groups, and we went through some pretty heavy stuff in the last year. And it's designed to stretch you as a leader, and if they're not leaders, it's designed to create them a desire to want to be more involved in the church and what God is doing. But some of those topics that we had was messy grace. Messy grace was a tough one. It was a very tough read. It's about working with the homosexuality, and how to love and how to work, but also how to keep biblical convictions. It was tough. Another book that we read was, I know my group, to love them anyway. Regardless, if they don't look like you, we're called to love them anyway. Tough. Not everybody looks like you. Not everybody is the same color. Not everybody is the same nationality. We are called to love everyone. That number eight was that God would direct and clarify the use and purposes of our newest house, which is 414 Byron Street, which was the most expensive house that we've had at $65,000, yet paid off in about a week. That was 2021 at the very end. We're praying that God will give us that, and we know what that's going to be. That is going to be a foster care home, a kind of emergency foster care home with Tabitha and Trevor taking a big step of faith. Let me tell you something. People, when they come serve here, some people give up a lot. Savannah gave up a career of teaching elementary school, whole career, gave it up. Come here to be an assistant and work with fundraising. Woo. And she nods her crazy. Because we couldn't pay her what she was making there. They live above the soup kitchen. They sold their home. How many young couples loved, I got our first home, and they gave it up? You think about the sacrifices you gave. They gave it up. Tab and Trevor are going down that same road. I don't know if they're going to keep their house or not. That's their business, not mine. But she's given up a career to take care of children. Wow. Can't pay her what she's making there, I'm sure. Let me tell you something. You give up something for Jesus, He knows about it. And you're not going to get over on Him giving Him more than you gave Him. He's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. But the flesh says, oh, I don't know. Oh, you sure about that? You sure about that? Listen, you follow the Lord, whatever He's telling you, and you're in the best place possible. So 414, we were not looking for a building. We were not looking for a house, but God had it, and guess where it's planted? Right next door to the Women's Life House. One house, next door another house, next door another house. And He kept the men over here. And here's the funny thing. I take people on tours, and some of you have been on tours, and there's something that goes in common that I don't share, but most of them have some kind of common at the end. You know what it is? You think God gave you the block? I said, I think so. Just haven't given us the keys yet. And you're thinking, oh, it's too big, it's too big. Quit thinking that God is too big, that it's too big and God is not big enough. When Joshua says, sun stand still and moon stand still, he had no doubts that God can do it. So, 414 Byron Street is a go, just don't know exactly a date yet, but we're right on the path. God doesn't always tell you. We might have an opening date, but if you know us, we'll put an opening date, and we never make opening date. But what it is, it's a target. It's a reminding everybody it's going to open, it's going to happen. A lot of things are in place. Number nine, that God will help me to love more. This is what we pray, because most of us was about the church, but also for ourselves. That God would help me to love more, love better, and love like Jesus. And I see that with some of you. Not as critical this last year. Some of you were not as critical. Some of you were trying to work through some hard things. Trying to love through some things that before you might have gotten more angry with or made your opinion known. So you worked on it. And those that worked on it and prayed through it, you're probably further than those who didn't. Loving more, love like Jesus. Love more, love better, love like Jesus. And then there was number 10, pray for anything personal. That God will, whatever it is. And only you can answer that. But what a shame it would be to have a prayer and fasting and you never ask God for anything. There it was. I'm going to remind you that God is not finished with this church until he says he's finished with it. That this is a lighthouse in the darkness. Even though we hear a lot of negative and evil things around the world, he is still doing things. That he is unlimited when it comes to resources. He is unlimited. He doesn't have an account balance. He is the account. There is nothing you need that he cannot provide for you. But sometimes he does not provide for you for exactly what you want, but he does it in the way that he wants, such as we asked for $353,000, but he didn't give us that. He gave us what we want, what we needed, and what he showed us with that was, yes, you prayed for that. I'm giving you what you need so that you know that you can do this, but it is only through me that you can do it. Testimonies come from when you are in a place where you need God. When a church has testimony over testimony, you know that God is working because there's needs there. When a church doesn't have needs and all it has is money and all it has is status of just doing one thing on a Sunday morning and that's it, I would be cautious. That's all I would say. I would just be cautious. But I know this, that here in Huntington, there are some good churches. I guess there's some good other pastors that I'm meeting, getting to know better. There's some good churches trying to do, and they're doing some good things. I can go along with them, and I can meet them, and I encourage them the best that I can, and I pray for them. Some of them supply funding for us. Do you know that there's a church here in town that does, I'm not tell you which one it is, but they do $250 a month. They give it to us. They are their own denomination, and they're only 20 to 30 people each week. Didn't we say that God owns everything? It's one thing for an independent church to give and sponsor, but it's another when another denomination gives to another denomination. When a denomination can give to another denomination, you know what the problem is? We have differences. We might have some differences, but when they see through the eyes of Jesus, hurting people don't care about your denomination, what it believes and what it doesn't believe. They just know they need help. And God uses it, takes from one and gives to the other. And that's how God does it. But I want to ask you, are you in the place of your life where you've had testimonies in your life where you can say this, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm in a place and I'm in a spot that I need your help. Then I need you to come down and do something. And this is what I need. I believe in it 100% that you're going to fix this. That you're going to help me. You're going to build a bridge from here to there because I can't get across. I got a problem with my son or my daughter. I got a problem with this and that. And you got to be patient. But I also want you to know that God does some things right at the moment you ask. And that's the problem. We don't believe that God can do it right at the moment that you ask. We need to know that God is a patient God and God has patience. But we also need to know God has a time. And sometimes it is right now. You ask for it, sometimes he gives it to you right now. Like the day I shared, coming down here praying, Lord, I don't know, we don't have any money. This is a few years ago, we don't have any money. You got to tell me you can have my paycheck. And then next thing, you got to pick the person. You got to pick the person because I don't know who to take the money away from. Walk outside, car pulls up, says, hey, Jimmy, been looking for you. Here's a check. And he drove right off. It was enough to cover for the week. Right at the right moment. You get right with God. You get him. You put it down there, and it's not selfishly. You put it down there. You lay it before him. You get serious, and you start asking him. Listen, he wants to give. He wants to help you. He wants to walk you through what he wants you to get through. He wants to help you through it, but you got to let him. And you got to let him be God and let him really take over the steering wheel. Quit being in charge and let him be in charge. Amen? Let him be in charge. Let him be in charge. Folks, my group is getting ready to go through, I think, one of the hardest books that we're going to go through. It's only a little bitty book. It's going to be 3 months. It'll take about 3 chapters. It's like 9 chapters, something like that. You know what it's called? One word. Envy. 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 You know, my phone, I'm gonna be open to you a little bit here. My own personal. I don't do that too often. This is me. I make a lot of phone calls every week. A lot. I call a lot of pastors. I call a lot of people. You know how many phone calls I get a week from pastors? Maybe one. I never understood until I started reading that book a little bit that when you are in a place where God is using you, even your peers become jealous. There's a danger in, now don't get me wrong, there's a danger in succeeding. Not succeeding in the world's way, but succeeding really is just being obedient to God. And believe me, I have my hiccups. I have my moments that God's got to get me back on gear. But when you're in a place where God is moving and God is working, I almost text something out today to this group I'm a part of, but I didn't. Because I didn't want to sound like it's boastful. Because I've noticed, even in conferences, I can go to conferences, some guys will just totally avoid me. Some will have the courage to come up and say, I don't understand how it works. How can you all be at the level, at the area that you're at, 100, and doing all that? You know how many tours I've given to our Southern Baptist pastors? Very few. Very few. Listen, I'm going all the way to Louisville. I took a crew to Louisville. Let's go down to Louisville. Let's look at this ministry. Let's go down the very beginning. Let's go down to Florida. Then I went over to Columbus, Ohio. I went over to Saul Ministries that I knew that we were heading in that direction. We saw one down, me and Carlos saw one down in Pensacola, Florida. And so we see it. And I'm getting around. I'm trying to absorb as much as we can to learn so we don't make the same mistakes. And we can see that we can take a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of that. You find out that really, I have a couple of really good close pastor friends. I talk to them each week. But besides those two, my phone is not ringing unless I make the phone calls. It's hard to do ministry alone as a pastor. It's very difficult. But what it does is it draws me closer to the Lord. It calls me to understand that I can't worry about what they're thinking. Sometimes we have to call out in front of everyone, which we will next week. Lord, let the sun stand still. And let the moon stand still. I need that to happen so I can do this victory. There are things we need to happen to do what God's called us to do. And we need to be boastful in the sense of boastful being bold, going to the throne, letting our needs be known to the Lord and know this, that is not by our strength. The Second Chronicles says the battle is not ours, but the battle belongs to God. God has done so much here at New Life Fellowship. And He wants to do even more. And you think about the economy. Oh, I thought about that the last couple of days. Thought about the economy. Thought about, oh boy, here we go. This is going to get tough. It's going to get a little tough because finances are going to kind of go down, and this is the quarter that I get nervous about. It's our big low quarter month, quarter of the year. And then I come into church and I got a message from the guys, the pastor pack there, and somebody to give an inspiring scripture to encourage you. And I'm like, oh, Savannah sent me a text. Oh, let me click that. What is that? I didn't catch that. We had a good Saturday, so Waterfield Mortgage gave us $1,000, right? And gave us another check for $1,000. Now, what I know is, doesn't matter how God gives it to you in little quantities, big quantities, He knows how to take care of His stuff. I want to close this morning with the challenge of asking you to think and pray and process the idea of, have I asked? I don't usually preach like this. Have you asked enough from God? Have you asked enough it hasn't been big enough? Are you just asking for things you can do on your own? See, God does give us a mind. He gives us jobs. Do I get a blue couch or a red couch? You do whatever couch you want to do. Don't think God's concerned about your couch. But there is a difference when you want to buy a house. It's another $400 a month mortgage. Or you want to do this, you want to do that. You marry who you're going to marry, who you're not going to marry. Switching jobs. Sharing the gospel with a neighbor you're very scared about. Asking God to bless you in a way that it would only be by Him and you would know it. You see, I think that $350,000 would be not that great. We had that $353,000 budget and we asked for that. But the previous year was we took in like 320 some thousand, something like that. That's what we took in. Would it be a really big answer to prayer that God brought us and gave us the 350,000, 353,000? It would be a great piece. But how strong are the testimony is when we come up short $102,000 and we're still able to stay open? And nobody missed a paycheck. Bills are paid. I don't know. If you guys know that God is moving and God is working, we need to quit thinking that he's just some faraway distance. He's right here. And he's right here, and he's right here right now. You don't do 25 baptisms in 2 years. Unless God's a part of it, especially a church this size. They particularly say that if you're 80, you're in the lower, under 100, and you're not in your first couple of years, and you're past that fourth year in your as a church, you're past your fourth year, you don't baptize very many. But God is still doing things. So my challenge for you is, are you asking enough? Are you asking big enough for God? Because big things need big God. Didn't Jesus say, ask and you shall receive? Let's stand. Let's go ahead and stand. I'll give you an opportunity this morning if you want to come and pray for whatever it is that's on your heart, whatever the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about.